You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.
How's it going, Los Angeles? This is The Startup with Monique Leray. I'm Monique Leray. Welcome to another Sunday of startup talk, business talk, all things business. I'm so excited. Thank you for being here. Shout out to all our sponsors, Iron Lace, Next Level Global Solutions, Vacalera Studios, and everyone, Dr. Jess, everyone that supports the channel. And thank you. We are inching very close to our 5-year show. And I'm going to be in studio with the one and only Sam from LA Talk. I'm so excited to be back in the studio. It's been so many months. I don't even know how many months it's been. It's been over a year. Probably been over 2 years, Sam, but I can't wait to get back there and talk to you guys about the show and being there and where it all began before the pandemic. So today we have a power-packed show. I'm very excited. We're going to start with our first guest, Kelly J. Brower. Kelly, how's it going?
Hey, not too shabby.
You look great. You look cozy. Thank you for being here and sharing your Sunday with us. Why don't we go full screen, Sam? And Kelly, please introduce yourself to the listeners and viewers and tell us about your brand.
Okie doke. So, hi there. My name is Kelly J. Brower, and I am a licensed mental health counselor. I specialize in couples and relationships. And I guess what I want to share is that I've only been a therapist for 10 years, enough to kind of know what I'm doing. But I started out as a comedian when I was 15 years old, and I did comedy for a zillion years. I did stand-up comedy, I did sketch comedy, I did TV commercials, I did a couple sitcoms, all things comedy, comedy writing, directing. I got into film and TV production and did comedy and directed some really funny stuff, videos, music videos, blah, 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 blah. But I always found that having a kind of a comic lens when looking at life and some of our most difficult struggles, having just a lighter lens, I found that to be actually, you know, not as heinous as looking with a dark lens. So I found a way to sort of mix comedy and a lighter approach when I'm working with couples and relationships. And one of the main things of working in with couples is that, you know, everybody needs to take responsibility for their actions. And when you can have that lighter lens looking at your own responsibility, then you don't feel like a horrible, twisted, evil person. And so I think that's probably a pretty powerful experience, is when you can really look at some of the things you're like, oh my God, I can't believe I did that, and be like, okay, there's that. So yeah, that's what I do, and that's who I am.
Thank you so much, Kelly, for that intro. I really love your take on the way you approach your business, your brand, and bringing in life experiences and comedy. I think in my bio on the show, I take a lighter, you know, I try to anyway. Well, no, there's no such thing as try. I do. I really do add comedy in my head with life. I mean, I'm 46 and I can't believe it. I was just 18. What just happened? And it just happened. But thank you for what you do. So I want to hear more about what attracted you to this particular sector of the world in business. Like, why are you in relationships? Good Lord, lady. This must be a very challenging niche. Why this?
Oh my God, you don't know the half of it. Someone once asked me, why couples counseling? And I was like, oh, I like more people in the room and it can be fun and playful. And then when it really came down to it, I didn't know how to do relationships myself. So I'm like, why don't I just become an expert at that? And then that actually helped. And now I'm much better, my friends will all tell you. Much better at relationships, and now I teach the science skills and the lighter lens to other people for decent money.
You, in your intro, you did mention you've only done this 10 years. I don't want you to ever downplay that, because 10 years of doing anything is quite noble, and it shows consistency and dedication. So please know, 10 years, listen, you had 10 years of being in relationships with people. So yes. The hat is off. Yeah. So let's get into it. I want to know about what we're finding with relationships now. Like, I know that's quite a big ask of you, but share what you can. I'm asking this because I saw grandparents that were married 50 plus years, not a perfect marriage, but loved each other. And I saw a grandfather that was just truly dedicated to a grandmother, and likewise for her, and their children were happy and not perfect human beings by any means. But I actually brought this up to my father, who is one of those children, and there were four, two daughters, two sons. And I said, it's interesting that half of the kids that Mama and Papa had were married or attempted to be married again, and two of the children did not. And I wonder if it's because they saw this example of a pretty great marriage, and half of them decided to try for it, half of them decided not to. What do we draw from the examples that we have in your experience about our relationships?
That's a really good question. You know, I think our parents are definitely role models. And I think, you know, we also draw a lot from entertainment, from television, from music, shows, films. But I think in terms of our interpersonal relationships, I think it's really about, you know what, it just always comes down to communication and emotional regulation. And I have found that, have you ever heard of the highly sensitive person theory?
No, please tell us.
Yeah, so there's a researcher out of Texas named Dr. Elaine Aron, and she came up with a theory called the highly sensitive person. And what she did is she studied, she did thousands and thousands of studies in the course of 30, 40 years. And she found 20% of the US population is highly sensitive. And that's a lot of people. And anyone who's in the arts, people who are really, really creative, all of that is high sensitivity. So I think, you know, people who maybe choose not to be in relationships or to take a little step back, my first guess is that they're highly sensitive. And, you know, when we're highly sensitive, Dr. Aron found that we're missing a very thin filter in the brain, where everyone else, all the other 80%, they have extra filters. But because we're missing a filter, two things. One is our superpower. Because we're missing that filter, we take in more sensory information from all those senses. And we can spot creative patterns in all of that information, because we have extra information than everybody else. But the downside is when we take in so much information, we can become overwhelmed quicker. We're quick to anger, we're quick to cry, we're quick to feel all the various emotions, fear, anxiety, all of that. So when people struggle with relationships, I always check in to see their sensitivity level. And then that tells me a lot. And it gives me a pathway of how to work with them.
That's really, wow. I just learned, today has been a learning day on the other podcast and here. That makes a lot of sense. And so when we are navigating these relationships, both, you know, personal, well, all things relationships, I guess it is good to know thyself, right? Like, you got to know yourself. And in this age, in this 40s, I know myself completely, and I know, you know what. So do you advise your clients to know thyself when coming in? I guess you have to take it by age bracket, right? Because you're still kind of finding yourself. Or how does that work?
Well, you know, I think it doesn't really matter the age. The sort of secret sauce for me has been, in order to know thyself, I encourage my clients and my friends, even when they're like, oh, I feel so crappy today, to look at our behavior and who we are with the light lens, with curiosity. So when someone's like, oh, I really hate this part about myself, and I'll be like, oh, great, let's take a look at that. Mm-hmm. And they'll start to talk, you know what, I get really upset very easily. I can be really mean to my wife. And I'll be like, all right, well, let's be curious about that. You can be a rat bastard to your wife. Interesting. No judgments. Interesting. All right, let's take a look at that. Let's find out what's going on. What is that dynamic? What is she doing? And you're reacting. Let's figure out why you're reacting. And then let's figure out how to settle down and settle in. And also how to repair a disruption.
Settle down and settle in. Listen, I think you just gave me my new life campaign. Settle down and settle in, everybody.
Buckle up.
Yeah, that's good stuff, because you're right. Like, why? You know, and oftentimes I hear people saying that relationships are mirrors to who you are, and we're mirroring constantly. So this is good stuff. Now, I want to pause here. We're going to keep talking. Please give everybody your handle. Where can people sign up? Are you still taking new clients at the next quarter of the year? What is your intake look like, and who can come to you, and how does it look?
Yeah, so the really good thing about, you know, I use all science and I mix it with comedy. So science and humor, all scientific tools, theories, all of that. And so the good news about that is that I get people better faster. And I see my relationships with my clients as lifelong. And you come in, it's short term. I'll see you for like 3 or 4 sessions, depend on, you know, what's going on, 5, 6. And then you're out in the world, and then you come back in when there's a bump in the road or there's been a shakedown. So I always need new clients. I'm getting a little busier. In the fall gets busy, slow, you know, it's different seasons. So, so how to find me? My company is called Psych in the City. It's like Sex in the City, only nice. Psych in the City. And it's spelled PSYC, no H, psychinthecity.com.
This is great. And you have something coming up, which is so unique. You were sharing with me offline. Couples improv therapy. What the hell is that? Holy shit. I'm so excited. Tell us more.
Yes. Yeah, so a big chunk of my comedy travels were improv and sketch comedy. And I studied at the Groundlings in LA. Yep.
That's a big deal.
And then I moved to New York, and I eventually became the artistic director of Groundlings East.
Wow.
Yeah. So I moved my way up. Yeah. So improv and sketch has always been really important. So I found that when I take a group of my clients, I put them together in a room, and then I give them improv warm-ups and just fun, easy, light games that are, you know, nothing too crazy. Warm them up. Then I start to explore the idea of connection and levels of connection and obstacles that get in the way of connection. And in the process of that, we'll do certain scenarios. They're it's improv, but it's actually called psychodramatic techniques.
Oh,
yeah.
This is cool. So, you know, I'm going to keep talking with you if you don't mind. I think that this is interesting. Why don't we go a little deeper if you don't mind?
Sure. Yeah.
Right now, we have a lot of things going on in the world without doing too much and keeping it light. Are there tools for people to tap into or access that you find and that you might explore in your sessions to deal with family, like family with different political views? Or, you know, right now we're in a political year in America, right? Presidential candidates are out and doing their thing. What have you found? Are there some tools to help with people? Because people are fighting.
Oh my God.
It's a mess.
Yeah, it's brutal. Yeah, it's bloody. Bloody. Yeah. Well, the first tool is when you're hearing a point of view that is contradictory to yours, I do the stay curious tool. And what I do is I have them go like this. When someone says something that is out of control and you're like, oh my God, if you could just go like this to your chin, it's called a multi-sensory learning. The more we engage the senses, the faster the brain rewires for new behavior. So if you can kind of be like, oh, that's interesting. And also what that does is it creates a pause between our reaction. Normally, there's a stimulus. Someone says something heinous and we respond. That's not true. You know, we respond right away. But yeah, when we say, isn't that interesting? It creates space between the stimulus and the response. And in that space, we have options to try things differently. So when you're dealing with, you know, anybody that you're very quick to get hot, to come in hot on, say that's interesting, to give yourself time to collect yourself so you don't say something you're going to regret.
That's so simple and so, like, why didn't I know that? Like, and sometimes your body does it anyway, right? Like, you just put the straw in your mouth, or you're like, hold on, I got to go to the bathroom. Or sometimes you do it and you don't know you're doing it. That's really good to take note here, folks. Like, if you're in a political moment with your family, we got Thanksgiving coming up, we got Christmas coming up. Go and take the dog or the cat for a walk. Stay curious. Go get some extra dressing for grandpa. Okay, that's great. All right, so tell me what you're interested in right now. Like, what has piqued your senses and your curiosity in the world of therapy and humans, right? Like, with the global, all the things, what are you really looking to deep dive in these days? Like, where are you going with it?
Well, I guess I'm trying to introduce a little bit some brevity and some playfulness to situations. You know, some things in life and in the therapy room and is intense, for sure, and dark, and we can go there. But a lot of things aren't. A lot of things are just stupid-ass mistakes. And so when we can take the small stuff and kind of just lighten it up a little bit and be like, a little wonky. Okay.
That's good. I like your approach on these things, and you're really bringing everybody back to one with the humor. And so, like, so now let's, if you don't mind, I'm going to be releasing a little novella, a little book novella on narcissism.
Good one.
You are, listen, you were at the Groundlings, and you know LA and New York, which are the two largest populations in the US. And I love both those cities. And I don't want to say that they, listen, it's a numbers game, right? The more you have, the more you have. So I am in the entertainment business, obviously, and it's just rife with a lot of different personalities. Oh, yeah. I want to say, this is my, now you can correct me. I think from even just like real estate entrepreneurs, and not just entertainment, but just people who are successful at their craft, in their business, have some narcissistic tendencies. And I'm no therapist, you are. I'm not walking around diagnosing people, but there's a lot of narcissism that I deal with. And I deal with it a lot. And I my book is called I Speak Narcissist, because I truly do speak it. Like, if I don't, I die. And so I've learned to manipulate a little bit in a healthy way to keep myself safe and to keep the project safe around it, right? So let's talk about narcissism. People are dealing with this pretty much all the time, and it's a hot topic. What can you share about this in dating and in the world?
Yeah, so I think I'm always a little hesitant to say the word narcissist. Okay. I like to say narcissistic features and characteristics, because I think we can all have a little bit of that in certain situations. But there is narcissistic features, and then there's flat out a-hole. it is different. Because with just a plain old jerk, there's a way in. Narcissists tend to like just lock down, and there's no way in. So it's finding the right time and the right way to express your needs with a narcissist. It's all about negotiation and with narcissistic features, people who are, you know, tough, it's about boundaries. They will boundary trounce at over anything. So you want to be very clear and set boundaries. And whenever we set a boundary, it never works. You can't just set it once. You have to set it 45,000 times.
Yeah.
And you set it in a clear, concise way. And when you keep setting it, they finally get it and they start to come around. And in the end, if they're not the classic narcissist, if they're just an asshole, they will respect you.
Yeah.
Because no boundaries, people will respect once they get used to it.
That's so good. I Eon LaVanzant says boundaries keep you safe. Mm-hmm. And that is what you're saying. I remember someone saying when I was in my late 20s, early 30s, oh, you don't have boundaries. And I'm like, whoa, I don't. Yeah. And I was like, oh, that stung, but it stung so good because thanks for telling me, you know, like just because I'm open doesn't mean I'm open. Like but I'm glad that they told me that. And now that's kind of the thing that's on the tip of my tongue a lot. But boundaries with fun and boundaries with you know, respect and reciprocation. I love what you're saying. I think that sometimes you're right. Like there are, I'm sure I have narcissistic features. I'm sure, but successful people in business do. The thing is, being self-aware makes you not an asshole, right? Like caring about people and asking, did I mess that up?
Right. Yeah. Being curious about how your behavior lands.
Right.
Yes. And narcissists don't do that. They have zero interest in that. Yeah. And sometimes assholes too, until you kind of call them on it in a gentle way. Now, the problem is with us women, when we raise our voices, especially with men, because they have lower vibrations and lower, but when we raise our voices and we don't even realize it, that's when we lose them.
Oh, because it's static. Now she's body. Now
the
she's
vibration. It is.
Now she's bitching at me and
right. And so we lose them. So it's really about setting a firm boundary in a light way and resetting and reestablishing and keeping cool, staying cool.
Why do we have to go out of our character to do that? Like, why do I have to speak narcissist? Why do we have to fix the damage from their? We all have parental damage, right? We all came in. Our parents were just a guy and a girl that got together, or a sperm and an egg that got together, and we are here. Like, why do I have to do that? Why?
Well, because, you know, I always tell the women in my couples, and I'll say it right in front of the men. I say, you know what? You need to do the work first. Women, we always need to do the work first. I don't know why, other than it's a man's world. But we have to do the work first. And it's better because when we do the work, and it takes a while, men take twice as long. Mm-hmm. And there is science to prove this. When we accept responsibility of our behavior, it's called accepting influence. That's the scientific term. Okay. And men have all the research, and the research was done by John Gottman. He's a man. And he's like, men have a harder time. So that's why we have to do the work first. And then once we do the work, where it's like, there you go. Yep, all you.
It's flowing. This is good, Kelly. I love it. So what can people expect coming into your couples improv retreat? Like when they sign up, when they link up with you, they're like, listen, I'm dealing with a lot. It's almost the holidays. It's an election. It's been a lot. It's been the pandemic. It's been economy. It's been kids. It's been, I want to be light. I want to have fun. What can people expect? How long is it? What's the commitment? And how raw do they have to be? Or what work do they have to be willing to do?
Right. That's a great question. So I structure my workshops in a way that we have a warm up. And then the next part is people who want to do the work. They present the scenario to the group. And then we cast the person who's issue, like my partner and I, we always fight over XYZ. So we present that. And then the person who's presenting casts, this person's going to play my husband. and then I will play myself. So you, the person chooses. And then we set up a scenario that, that the person chooses. Here's something that we struggle with. And then we play it out. And then I side coach. Nice. And I'll say, freeze. And then I'll give an adjustment. In improv, we call it an adjustment, an emotional adjustment. I'll be like, all right, let's try something different. This obviously, the way you're speaking is not working. Let's try a different strategy. And then I'll go to the audience so that they can shout out ideas that might work. And if, and I'll choose the ones that are good.
Right.
Yeah. And then we'll try that. So,
cool.
Yeah, it's, and I have a bunch of other different like little scenarios like that. And then after the improv, everyone's going to talk about what came up with them as they were watching this, and people could share, oh, my girlfriend and I, we do the same thing, or we have a different version. We do this and I'm learning. So it's really a great experience.
I love this. How long is the commitment, or how long, not that it needs to be, you know, any specific time, but like, I know everyone's different, right? So everyone's right. Where they are, but where do you find, where's that combustion point? If we're doing math, if we're looking on your charts, where do you see change for folks? If we're adding up the numbers, where do you see where people could commit and actually see some change for themselves?
Yeah. So I'm in the fall, I'm going to be doing a series of one-off workshops. And then in January, I'm going to start to do ongoing workshops. I might even add a couple's retreat, like where it'll be a Saturday and a Sunday.
Nice.
But in those short amount of time, you can learn a lot of situations. Again, because when we're acting things out and doing these scenarios, it's multi-sensory learning.
Mm.
The more we use the senses, the more the brain rewires.
This is good.
Yeah.
People can see themselves with that. And then it's funny who you pick in the audience, because that's a projection that is important. Like you're choosing someone to play you or him, and you're seeing it in a three, like, I get it. This is really cool. I might sign myself up. Like,
it is really fun. And there's a lot of laughs. And then it really connects people. I mean, people really form lasting relationships in some of these workshops.
You're doing the Lord's work, girlfriend. I'm loving it. Yes, I love it. So guys, get with Kelly. If you're in a relationship, or maybe you got out of one, or maybe you're getting into one, or maybe you're just you, like, figure it out. Bring your best friend. Do something. Bring your gay. Bring your best friend. Bring your husband. Bring your wife. Bring your whatever, or bring yourself, and come and get into this, because I think bringing comedy into it, because it is kind of hilarious. Like, relationships are kind of hilarious. It's like you and I come from these different backgrounds, and we're trying to come together and do this, and we're a mess. We're all a mess, even though we don't think we are. A lot of us are healed, but we're still all growing. And this is great. I'm really excited for what you're doing. When's the next one? When did you say people can sign up?
Yeah, they're going to start in November, and I'm going to post dates in the next couple of weeks.
So in person, online, a combination, a hybrid, what are we doing?
Combination. Yep. I'll do one or two online, and then I'll do a bunch of in-persons too.
Give us your handles where they can sign up one more time, Kelly.
Yeah, psychinthecity.com, P-S-Y-C inthecity.com, like Sex in the City.
I love it. Thank you so much for sharing your Sunday with us. Stay awesome. You're doing really great work, and I'm excited to get to know you better, and I probably will be signing up.
Great. That's awesome. All right. Thank you so much, Monique.
Here's Manhattan for me. Girlfriend. Be well. Ciao. All right. That was Kelly. What a cool lady. I love everything she's talking about. I think, you know, and it's the end of the summer in a moment, right? Kids are going back to school. By the way, I can't believe kids are going back to school so quick. September was when I went back to school, but I mean, I'm a 90s high schooler. Kids, I'm seeing backpacks and like kids going back to school in August. I feel like you guys are getting kind of shorted. Where did your summer go? But maybe they started earlier. I don't know. I don't have kids, but thank you, Kelly. That was a side note. Thank you, Kelly, for that. Psych in the City. Kelly is awesome. Couples Improv, you guys. What do you think? I think this could be great. What a cool brand. What a way that she integrated her life experiences with production and comedy and then had a mutual interest of like helping people and curiosity and help in helping. And she did that. What is my bun doing, you guys? Oh my God. All right. So a couple announcements. I have a new podcast, you guys. Sam has seen me twice today. I have worn him out. Sam, I'm sorry to wear you out today. I have a new podcast. This one is my baby. Okay. This is where we talk about entrepreneurship, as you know, and ideas, and we just do it for 5 years on September 8th. I can't believe it. So less than a month, I'll be in studio again with Sam, speaking about my five-year journey with LA Talk and him putting up with me. And when I say that, I mean travel and Wi-Fi issues and credit cards and international. Like, he's dealt with me and I've dealt with making it happen, and I'm just grateful to still be here. So my new podcast is called The Ununited State of the World. It's a long ass title, but I see all the banter. I contribute to it. We all do. A lot of us do, not all of us, but there's a lot going on in the world, man. And people express it in many ways. I decided to grab two friends, one from the UK, one from Florida, and I'm here obviously in California, and we just go at it. The first topic, a softball topic, but we're going to build up and we're going to get to the topics you want to talk about. Like, so nothing is off the table. We go at each other, but we end respectfully. We are all different from different backgrounds, and we really lean into today's hot topics of politics, media, finance, war, like trade, all of it. So come join us on Sundays at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for the Ununited State of the World. Then go get a snack, walk the dog or cat, and then come back at 4 and we'll talk business with people from around the world with different businesses. Okay. So you're going to see me in a different light. We're cursing a little bit. We're no topic. We're talking about religion. We're talking about sex. We're talking about drugs. We're talking about immigration. We're talking about political presidents and vice presidents and the UK and Brexit and transgender. We're talking a lot about a lot of different topics that are not always for public consumption, but we're making it that way. But the good news is we have a mutual friendship and shared respect for one another, and we're not going to land and agree. And we're okay with that. And we signed up for that. So join us. We're going to do a test run for the next 4 weeks to see what Sam thinks here at LA Talk, to see what you guys think. And if the numbers are right and if the vibe is right, we'll stay. So you guys, please, you know, join the show. But again, you're going to see me with a different hat on. Here it's more business and buttoned up. I might curse here. I might say damn once in a while, but we're using all the words there. So it's no hold barred. So a couple announcements besides that, that's one announcement. The Pandemic Project. I know you guys are tired of hearing about it. I'm tired of editing it. I'm tired of it, but I'm not tired of it because it's about to come your way August 31st on Roku. Then we'll do a second streaming on YouTube. But it is coming. It is coming. I'm so excited. We are putting together the commercials for some of the sponsors in the front of the film. 90 minutes there. Very excited to bring it to you. Thank you for your support and undying listening to me talking about it. Sam's probably over it. But guess what? That's only the first film. There's two more after. My work is never done. But that's what happens when you're an entrepreneur and you go get it. So we aren't apologizing for that. We are just thanking everyone for hanging out. And with that, I want to bring on my next guest, Eduardo Segal. Eduardo, welcome to the startup. How are you?
Hey, how's it going? Love to talk to you. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Yeah, sure.
I hope I said your last name correctly. Is it Segal or Segal?
I like both. I'll go with either. It's Seagal mostly, but you know, my family's from Mexico, so we say Seagal. But it could be anything. Yeah, that's nobody pronounces it that way.
Eduardo Seagal. I want to say it the way it was intended. Why don't we go full screen, Sam? Eduardo, introduce yourself to the listeners and viewers and tell us about your brand.
Thank you. Yes, my my brand is, I guess, Signet Investments is really my company. I started it because I have been doing real estate investing practically my whole life. And, you know, I'm very happy to present sort of what I was taught to other people. I see a lot of people being a little bit, this happened in 2018. I started seeing people get a little bit forgetful of our particular nature in real estate, our past, and I saw people starting to think more instant gratification with that mentality, and that really affected the financial industry a lot. So,
yes, I'm glad you're here, and I love your background. It's true to your brand. So, tell us, what do we need to know about real estate today? We're in the end of Q3, going into Q4. What should we be looking at when it comes to real estate?
You know, I think that a lot of it is about patience. It's about finding the right deal. I was just talking to a friend of mine. I met him at a real estate meetup. I always go to these random meetups and meet some people. He was getting into his first investment deal, and he was talking about how he just bought a property. It doesn't have a return, and he was really excited to close. It is exciting to buy real estate, but I think that we're kind of at the height of the market. And I fear for people that are kind of going in and not sort of going in with a yield that makes sense. Because if the market goes down, these people, and it's usually the middle class, they get wiped out the most because they put as much equity as they can, their life savings. And it's very hard to recover from that. It's funny. I'm helping a friend's child of mine right now. And we're watching The Big Short together. And, you know, watching a lot of that stuff. And it's in The Big Short, it starts out with a saying that basically says, you know, truth is like poetry. And people freaking hate poetry. And it's like, it's right in front of us. You know, people don't like to talk about maybe not leveraging. People like to, you know, borrow as much money as they can. That's a very good way to get yourself in a lot of trouble in real estate, because then you have a huge nut to pay. And if you don't have the income, you lose the property. It affects credit. It's a problem. And I think with crowdfunding, people haven't really, you know, we're bringing a whole new group of investors, supply and demand, a whole new supply of money into the system, 25% of which of the private equity money raised in 2022 was crowdfunded, which is a huge number. And it really is a lot of people who don't have, a lot of these people are very smart, a lot of investors, but they're smart in their industry. Mm-hmm. And they,
all right,
all of that investment and lose all the control of that investment.
Thank you for saying that. And you're right. I'm having flashbacks of 2003/4/5. And I think you're giving really, you know, practical advice here. Like, be patient. Don't overdo what you can do. You want to go all in, but have a little bit of space, right? And yes, do not over leverage. And I think people coming to your platform and meeting you, you can consult, right? Like, let's get as much information as we can. Yes, you can be smart in one part of business, but that doesn't make you smart here. You have to do your research and, you know, be patient. I think that that's the overall takeaway.
Right. Yeah, so, I mean, I think that people, I mean, I'd love to consult with people. So I think I'm having trouble with my connections, which is the last thing I wanted. I just wanted to be on the construction site to show an example in case we were to talk about it, of something that I'm doing.
I see. No, I love that you did that. Why don't you give your handles? Where can people reach you and have a talk? All right. Eduardo Segal on site, giving it to you real. Eduardo, if you can hear me, go ahead and tell us your email, website, where people can connect.
Thank you. Okay, my email. The website's probably the best way, but it's sgnt.co. That's my website. And yeah, feel free to find me on there. I get all the contacts. So happy to chat.
Eduardo, thank you for sharing part of your Sunday to start up with us, even though you are scaled and ready. And I'm excited to have you back.
Thank you so much. I'd love that. Nice talking to you.
Pleasure is all mine. Be well. All right, you guys. Next up, we have a badass author. Marcy B is in the building. Marcy! Hi, girlfriend. Hi.
Hello, how are you?
I'm well. I'm better now. How's it going, sister?
Good, good. Very good.
Wonderful. Welcome to the startup. Thank you for sharing your Sunday with us. And thank you for being here. And thank you for my care package. Guys, I posted on Instagram. I got a lovely, badass, little salty and sweet. Marcy, you sure know how to send a package, sister. I'm blown away. I kept opening it. I'm like, oh, my God. And I got a cup now, and I've got a bookmarker, and it says, I don't love porn, I read books, and I've got this handwritten note.
You got a good one.
I'm like, it's almost like you knew me, and I just wanted to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. It truly brought joy to me for you to take
time
and spend money and energy to do that. And
I appreciate you.
Oh, let's go full screen, Sam, and give Marcy the floor to introduce herself and her book and her brand.
Well, I am Marcy Belaski, and I'm a retired teacher, and I recently wrote a novel series, a romance novel series. It's called The Vengeance Series. Book one is out, Deception of Consequences. It's right behind me there. Whoop, wrong side. Second book is out any day. There are four books total in the series, and I'm just really excited to get that going. My brand is Tastefully Sexy by Marcy B. I'm a romance writer, and I think that it fits.
Indeed, it does fit. I'm really loving, first of all, let's talk about this. Okay, guys, look, Deception and Consequences. Ooh, it's a forest. And there's a beautiful little intro to you. And you know what? Here's the thing. In the cover feels good. Like when you're, you know, I like a good cover. The colors are great. It draws me in. I really think you're on to something here. And I can't wait to crack this puppy open. I've got two long flights, one in November and then one in December. And I am going to crack this puppy open. We need romance and suspense and fun. Tell us about yourself. Like, how did you get into this? What inspiration drew you here?
I've always been a writer, but I never really thought about taking on the magnitude of a novel until I ran it past a couple of friends and they said, sure, why not? Go for it. And then once I started writing, I couldn't stop. It was a manic summer basically of just writing and writing. This was last summer. And then I got to the end of the book and I changed the ending so I could do a series. And then I got to the end of the second book and I needed another one and another one. So I finally stopped at four.
Yeah, and I'm like skimming through here. Guys, get ready. Get your coffee or whiskey or wine or whatever the heck you drink. She has 27, hold on. Excuse me, not 27. 47 chapters. And, you know, I think that you're onto something with this theme, deception and consequences. Who can't relate to that? Did you draw a lot from your personal life? What was the inspiration for the characters? Or did it just, like you said, did you just get downloads that summer? Or what happened?
I didn't really know this was something that other authors didn't do. I went to a book signing and I had a well-known author. She said, are you a pantser or a plotter? And I said, a pantser or a plotter? I don't know what you're talking about. And she said, she goes, well, how do you write your books? And I said, well, I never really know the ending until I get there. And she goes, you're a pantser. And I said, well, what does that mean? And she said, you write by the seat of your pants. And I said, yeah, I did not know where this was going. I just kept writing. I was fortunate to come up with a really good book. I've won awards and it went number one in its genre in 15 days. I've had some really good reviews, so I think I got lucky. I mean, in that respect, everything I've written so far, I've been a pantser. I really don't know what's going to happen. And then I changed my mind. Yeah. And then I changed my mind. I'm like, I didn't like that. So I'm going to do something else.
Let's twist it up a little. But that is cool, right? Because I think that lends itself to more creativity. When you have it all planned out, it's like blueprinted. But I think you tapped into something.
Yeah, I couldn't follow a plan. I tried to follow a plan because I thought, I've been a teacher for 36 years and I've told all my students when they write, have a plan, make an outline, do this, do that. And then I wasn't even following my own rules. And I thought, maybe I need to try to be better. And I can't do it that way. And now I know what they're trying to tell me, and they can't plan it out either. So
this is great.
I get it now.
Now tell us about we have a few more minutes, but you're in Illinois or you're from Illinois. Tell me about how your love life with your husband and like dating and your daughters, like how did that all tie into this? Or is this a complete different world?
It's a complete different world. None of these characters have anything to do with my life except the one, the bartender, the bar owner coach is my dad. Every ounce, every single stick of that character is my dad, who passed away in 2022. And, but everybody else is just completely fictional. I've been married to the love of my life, my husband, Vince, 34 years. I have two wonderful grown daughters and they're married. We met on my first teaching job and been together ever since 1989.
I love that because you're taking a single people to a mysterious place. But isn't that cool though? You have like a cushion, something that's stable, and so you can go there. And I like that for you. And this is really cool. Thank you for just stepping out and doing it your way. And I like one of your stickers you sent me, small town girl with big dreams or something to that effect.
I grew up in a really small town.
Tell us about that.
There were 44 students in my graduating class and I pretty much knew them all since kindergarten. My dad was the basketball coach. He was the counselor, I knew all my teachers intimately. They were at my house all the time, friends of my parents. It was a good life, but I don't think growing up in a small town is a hindrance for anyone. If you have a dream and you chase it long enough, be ready to go for it and catch it.
I believe that. I don't think that you can come from anywhere to do anything. And you're proving it. And I really like the way that you lean in and your energy, it comes across. And I wish you all the success. Real quick, let's plug these awards, sister. Tell me what you've won for the book.
I won the Publisher's Award and the Titan, Literary Titan Award. Yeah.
Wonderful.
So,
that's wonderful. Let's get it up. Let's do some things. I'm grateful for your time and your energy, and I can't wait for the next book. I'm gonna finish this one first, but then
I've been told it's hard to put down, so better have some time when you start.
I will. I'm going to
India. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to India in November and Asia, and then I'm going to South Africa in December. So I will have a lot of time to do it and I will get it done. But you'll come back. Let's plug again and give us some updates on the next book. Where can people order real quick? Where can we get this book?
Okay, Deception and Consequences is available right now. You can go to my website, marcyb.net, or of course you can get it from Amazon or Barnes & Noble online. Second book is out any day. I mean, it's going to drop. I mean, I'm going to see it on Amazon before it comes to my house. So I'm going to wake up one morning, it's going to be there. So I'm hoping Tuesday might be the day.
I love this for you. And Marcy is going to be a part of our Emmys Week Celebrity Gifting Suite next month. And she'll be putting her bookmarkers and all her beautiful energy in those bags. So if you're coming to the event, you're going to get a piece of Marcy B there. Marcy, thank you for being on the Startup. And what will you start up today? Be well, everybody. And we'll see you next week. Ciao.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique Larray, only on LA Talk Radio.